Modern 3 Media.
Let's face it, the world is just a messy place. There's probably not one of us that hasn't heard a lesson or some information at some point and said, hey, with all that's going on around me, what difference does that make? I'm Dr. Mike Courtney. I'm a counselor, a lifelong recoverer, a husband, a father, a business owner, a grandfather. And I love to ask this question, what difference does that make?
Welcome to What Difference Does That Make? A podcast that's dedicated to helping you live a healthier, happier, and holier life in what is sometimes a very messed up and difficult world. Speaking of messed up and difficult,
oh boy,
it is always fun to be with David Wilkerson, my great friend and Emmy Award-winning producer. David, how are you?
I'm good. My wife would agree with you on the first part, messed up and difficult. Everything that followed, I don't know that she would agree with you on that.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, the great friend part. I think she knows we're great friends.
So she does know that. She does know that. Yeah,
that's good. It's good to see you today. Have you done all right in the midst of all that's gone on in our world?
Yes. We're doing okay. We're making it. It is good to go through life with someone that you feel like you can talk to just about anything, right?
Yeah.
That's a good spouse. But I also was at the dentist earlier today, so I'm just at least glad that they didn't give me any Novocaine, and you can actually make sense of everything that I'm saying in this conversation.
You told me that you were going to do that before we got together to do this, and I asked you, are you going to be drooling and talking funny?
Just drooling everywhere.
I do need to say to our listeners, most of the time we video this, but because David looked so bad today, we decided not. No, that's not true.
We punted.
That's right. Hey, speaking of looking bad, I have no idea how I'm going to segue and all that. I am excited to reintroduce our interviewee, our guest, David Robertson. Actually, on our last podcast, our listeners might remember, talked to us about purpose, finding purpose in life that really came out of his adversity. David is visually impaired. We had just a great interview, and that just kind of led us to this place of talking about what really God has laid on his heart, and that is challenging men to go further, deeper in their faith. He's put together a program he calls the 21-Day Challenge, which is just fascinating. I've been through it. I've led men through it. Just a powerful, powerful tool. And so we talk about why challenging men, how to challenge men, and we talk about that 21-Day Challenge day. It's really, really good.
Very good. So that's going to be great. But then after that, we've got a teaching segment. Now, unfortunately, today, no one was available, so you kind of are scraping at the bottom of the barrel. You got a guy in. I think his name's So Mike?
Yeah, thank Courtney. You very much. Yeah, speaking of messed up and difficult, we're back to that again.
This is my one chance to get a jab in.
Every once in a while, we have great counselors who do a wonderful job teaching. In all honesty, this is one I kind of wanted to teach. We're going to talk about discipline, and discipline is not a bad thing. And coming out of David's conversation of the 21-Day Challenge, I'm going to spend 4 or 5 minutes talking to you about both the power of discipline in your life and how to put some disciplines in place. I think it'll be, in spite of the fact it's the bottom of the barrel, I think it'll be good.
Oh, it's not the bottom of the barrel. You're great. Where can we send people? Where else are we saying some things that would be helpful to them?
I'm glad you asked. As of late, we're kind of centering everything on the Branches blog website, branchesblog.com. It's easy to get to. It's easy to find your way around. I would encourage our listeners to go to branchesblog.com. You can find about the challenges that we have done, our 40-day spiritual adventure. You can read past blogs. The links to podcasts will be posted there. So branchesblog.com is the place to go for bottom of the barrel things.
There you go. Bottom of the barrel, but it's better than nothing.
I'm not much, but I'm all you've got.
That's this podcast is, I believe, I know for me personally, it's helpful. I'm sure it's helpful to a lot of other people too.
I'm
glad we're pointing
that,
people to that. Yeah.
Well, you know, the best way to find out is just to get started. So let's get started. Well, I am excited to be here again with a great friend of mine, David Robertson. If you listen to this podcast regularly, you remember that David was with us not long ago and just had a great conversation about his story and where God has him. David has done amazing things in our community and in the kingdom of God in general in ministry to men, and done that, maybe I started to say in spite of a of being visually impaired, but I'd say maybe because of that. You've just been so impactful for men. David, it's good to have you back again.
It's great to be back. Thanks for having me back.
Thank you for coming. Here's what I believe about you. I know you just can't wait to hear what I believe about you. I believe that you take in so much good stuff. My wife, Dora, says, take in the good. I believe you take in so much good stuff that when you open your mouth, good stuff just comes out. It's just in there waiting to come out. And so I am excited to talk to you about the direction of your ministry and what God is doing in your life right now. The last time we talked, we talked about your office at Chick-fil-A, and it's a place where you meet, and you and I have met there a lot, where you meet frequently with men and involve them in discipleship and that kind of thing. So I'd like to talk a little bit about that. Is that all right?
Sure, absolutely.
Let's just start with the why question. Why men? Why this passion to reach men?
Well, it's a great question, and you know, there's more than just being male. You know, there's a lot of males out there, but there's not a lot of men of God, God's really. Good. You know. And we, in our culture, don't seem to have any rite of passage ceremony to induct men into manhood, right? Yeah. You know, the Jews have the bar mitzvah, and the Maasai have their thing, and the American Indians had their rite of passages. But in American culture, that's generally a missing link. There's a gaping hole there. And and just initiating men into a company of men, a band of brothers, a tribe, a community of faith, where, you know, we're able to give other men permission to hold accountable. Mike, I think that every man needs at least four types of men in their life. Every man needs this. Number one, he needs a Paul. He's got to have a mentor who's a little bit farther ahead of him, who he gives permission to ask you what you're doing without you getting offended at him.
Yeah, that's good.
The second type of man every man needs is he needs a Barnabas. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is an encourager. This is a guy who pats you on the back when you're doing good and kicks you in the seat of the pants when you could do better. This is the guy that says, David, I love you, but your breath stinks so bad it could kickstart a 747, dude. Don't get offended. Just take a Tic Tac, right? All right. And then every man needs, thirdly, they need a Nathan. You need a guy to call you out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like King David had the prophet Nathan, man, we need this guy. Because we all have blind spots. Every man has blind spots. We don't know what we don't know. We can't see what we don't see. And then the last type of guy I think everybody needs is a Timothy. Mm. We need someone to pass along, pay it forward, invest whatever we're getting in someone else so that we don't end up like the Dead Sea, but we're like the Jordan River. Everywhere the river flows, life grows, and we're passing it forward. And so great. I just love being with men. This Proverbs 27:17 experience, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another.
Boy, that's good. Let me ask you about that. Just curious, I don't know if we've ever talked about this before. Can one man serve multiple roles in your life? Can one man be your Paul and your Nathan, for example? Be your Barnabas and your Nathan?
Well, I've certainly found that to be true in some of my inner circle. You know, they've instructed me as a mentor. They've certainly encouraged me, come alongside of me, and been that son of encouragement to me, which is Barnabas's nickname, you know? Right. And I think there's this idea exchange, this doing life together. You know, look, we learn better in circles than rows,
That's good.
And so just being together in community and having relationships be the foundation You know, there's just so much can transfer from one to another simply through the conduit and avenue and bridge of relationship.
Oh, that's good. Well, two things have happened in since we have known each other. One is that, as we mentioned earlier, that you have struggled with this kind of deteriorating eyesight.
Yeah, and so I didn't see that coming, Mike.
You do have a great sense of humor about that. Sometime, I don't know if we'll do it now, but sometime we have to tell the story of getting hit by a bus.
Oh,
you're right.
Hey, it's better than being run over by a bus.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Or being thrown under the bus, all kinds of things. But so you struggle with that, and I shouldn't say struggle. You have thrived. Again, maybe not in spite of that, but because of that. The other thing that's happened in just the world in general is technology has just, over the last 15 years, it's been amazing what technology has done.
Yes.
I do things on my phone now that I never even imagined doing on a big desktop computer 15 or 20 years ago. But you have, I think God has helped you to bring those two things together. And you have this dream or vision for ministry to men that doesn't require you to be able to necessarily have to be out there face to face, takes advantage of technology and to allow you to mentor, to be a Paul and a Barnabas and maybe mm-hmm. in some ways a Nathan to these men. So right. that was a long introduction to a neat little website. Can you talk about My Virtual Mentor? Can we talk about that?
Well, sure. You know, I'm sure your listeners, have discovered Zoom, all right? Not everybody knew about Zoom before COVID, right? You know, and now it's like, oh my gosh,
we all do
another
that.
Zoom
right.
meeting and yeah. meeting. And yeah, so, you know, you can either, just you run with it and take advantage of it, which is what I've tried to do with My Virtual Mentor. You know, the visual impairment, you know, took me from church full-time to home part-time. The Lord has enabled me to leverage that through just going on the web, creating a website, myvirtualmentor.org, in the online space, and just kind of trying to rediscover, well, who am I? I've had to pivot like everybody else did, you know, the vision thing, the COVID thing. So I created an online space to lead men to go further, faster in their faith in Jesus Christ, okay? Mm-hmm. If a man out there is spiritually hungry, then I can lead him on a step-by-step journey to becoming a fully developing follower of Jesus.
Wow.
Whether this is a non-believer that's open to kicking the tires about who is this Jesus character, mm-hmm. or a new believer who just doesn't know what to do, or someone who's, you know, just coming back to God. And there's a lot of people that are coming back to God,
yeah.
Mike.
Yeah, well, that's true.
You know, and they just want a reboot of their spiritual yeah. life. And then to those that are just, man, they're maybe a pastor, you're listening, or a church leader, or a volunteer at church, but you're wanting to go deeper with God. Well, I have an experience for them, and all virtual, right through their device, all because right. their device is going with them. These rectangle screens are going with us everywhere that we go.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the enemy's used them for nefarious purposes, but how about we redeem that and just be able to disciple people, help people to develop themselves, mentor a friend, or build their team right there on the web.
Wow, that's good. That is a digital Genesis 50. You meant this to me for evil, but God meant it to me for good. And the enemy
right,
said, "Hey, I'm going
right.
to take. I'm going to introduce pornography. I'm going to introduce on-site." Online chat sites and mm-hmm. all this destruction in the family, and God said, "Nah, I'm going to take this and redeem it for my purpose." What a powerful, powerful thing. So, by the way, let me say in case I forget, myvirtualmentor.org. David Wilkinson, our producer, he'll put that in our show notes so you can go to that. So where do we start? Men, you know, I've in a little while, let's don't talk about it now, but in a little while, I'd like to have you talk to women about how valuable this is to them. But yeah. I've got a friend. I know he needs to plug into something like this. Where does he start? How do I get him really interested in this?
Sure. On the website, I've tried to create a safe place for Christian men to go get free ebooks, you know, just an aggregated discipleship tools to help them or someone else or their small group that's safe. It's vetted through a strong statement of faith that's just, if it's in the Bible, I'm for it, okay?
Yeah. Good.
I mean, because one of the most dangerous things a man or a woman can do is to just say, well, I'm gonna Google it, YouTube it, or Wikipedia it to get theological, doctrinal, biblical truth.
Yeah.
For example, and I've done this before, Mike. You know, how do you hear the voice of God? I would in one, you know, 0.5 seconds, you'll get, you know, 100 million responses to that, of which 99.8% of that is very, very dangerous.
Right.
And so wouldn't it be great if someone were there to vet these things through a trustworthy and reliable framework or grid? And in our case, it is the Word of God. It's the Bible, the Holy Scriptures that are able to make us wise unto salvation, the inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God. I'm that guy, man. If I believe in all of that. And to aggregate, you know, all this stuff in one place, that, I'm listening to so many podcasts and reading so many books and doing all these kinds of things with audiobooks that, you know, not everything, just a fraction of that I bring to the table to share on this platform. But by far, the gold standard of what I have is what I call a 21-day challenge.
Right. 21-day challenge. Tell me about that.
So this is the thing that I got more traction on than about anything I've done, is a 21-day challenge. Let me just frame it in this way. You know, when Moses was standing at the burning bush, right? Mm-hmm. He got that call to go set my people free. And he basically said, you know, here am I, send Aaron. You know, I don't talk well. And so he was insecure. Well, God's, you know, said, I'm going to help you speak and teach you what to say. He said, what have you got in your hand? Well, he had a shepherd's staff.
Right.
He said, well, throw your stick down. And he did. And you know what? God did a lot with that shepherd's stick. He turned it into the rod of God's authority. You know, and we, you know, our listeners know, if you're familiar with the Bible, what he did with that stick. Right.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now in my case, I got one thing in my hand. I got a 21-day challenge.
Mm.
And I have done this with hundreds of men over many years. And I've gotten so much traction out of this. It's a power tool to jumpstart change, positive change in a man's life.
Wow.
Okay. Good. And Mike, I'll tell you, the power of a power tool is pretty significant. You know, if you go by a job site where men are framing a house, you don't see them hammering nails anymore.
Right.
What do you hear?
Yeah, they got a power nailer that's shooting off nails.
That's
like
exactly right. They got a nail gun that's plugged into a power source, you know, a generator converted to electricity, mm-hmm. and pop, 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 pop. And really, things that, you know, would normally take weeks to do now takes days or maybe even hours to fabricate. Why? Because you have a power tool to accelerate. Remember, I said, I want to lead men to go further, faster in their faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is the acceleration. This is the momentum builder, is a 21-day experience to jump start positive change. And that word jump start is really important, because a lot of men in our cultural context, Mike, you know, they're kind of stuck.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one pastor said, you know, they're stuck at the starting gate where they're fixing to commence to begin to start something.
Right, right.
And they never do, right? Because why? Because they're busy. They don't have any bandwidth, margin, or at least they don't think that they do. They're bored, or they're hurt, or they're addicted.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And they're kind of there, just going through the motions, going to work, coming home, you know, doing their thing.
And some of them really want to do better. They really do have a desire, but they just can't, as you say, get off the starting block.
And so what I've learned, Mike, for a man to start positive change in life, he needs three things. Every man, I've noticed this, and I am somewhat qualified to talk about being about a man from my perspective. And ladies, you listeners, you may agree with this, but every man needs number one, disruption. Disruption. And that is, you know, just getting him to do something different. Because men basically are going, they're going to do what they want to do.
Yeah. Okay. They're going to follow the path of least resistance.
They're going to do what they want to do because we get that from our father, Adam.
Right.
Okay. So men are just stubborn that way. Secondly, they're going to do generally what they've always done and generally get what they've always got. Because, you know, we resist change, right? It's painful. And so they have to have disruption. You know, Michael Hyatt gives this statistic that out of people, men and women have heart attacks, 86% of people will make no lifestyle adjustment following that near-death experience.
Wow. Yeah.
Nearly no one will do it.
Yeah.
And so number one, they need disruption. The second thing men need to change is focused energy. Mm-hmm. Focused energy. One of my friends says, where focus goes, power flows.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest, men are not really super good at focus.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we're splattered and scattered. You know, we're like this, you know, that dog in the movie Up. It's like, squirrel.
Right.
You know, we're looking for some sparkly thing, and usually it's in the form of some motorized vehicle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And one of the things that's happened in our culture is that we've put value in the ability to multitask. And so we've got things going all over the place, and we've lost the power to stay focused.
And look what happens when you know, I like to use the illustration, you know, when I'm with Chick-fil-A over the table with a guy, is I take a magnifying glass and a napkin. And I said, you know, as a visual aid, like, what if we were out in the sun and I held this over this napkin and I'm moving the napkin slightly? I said, what would happen? They said, well, it would start on fire. And I said, now look at my hand. It's moving.
Right.
And I stop and I said, now what would happen? Well, they'd catch on fire. See, that's the skill set.
Right.
That we all need, and that is to be still, to listen, and to let the energy of, you know, we're talking about focusing the energy of the sun in that metaphor, but we can readily see that, you know, to focus God's will and energy through us, we just need focused energy. And the third thing we need is a simple plan. Men need disruption, they need a focused energy, and they need a simple plan. In fact, I would argue all day long that if it's not simple, it's probably not God, and men are probably not going to do it.
Yeah, that's good.
And so the simple plan that I've come up with is a 21-day challenge. And I don't know, you know, people might ask, well, why 21 days? Mm-hmm. That's a really good question. And I think really there's a physiological reason for that, Mike, because you may be familiar, some of your listeners may be familiar with Dr. Carolyn Leaf.
Mm-hmm.
She's a brilliant Christian brain neuroscientist. Mm-hmm. She says that it takes 21 days for a short-term memory to make it into a long-term memory, mm-hmm. in the plasticity of our brain. Okay, mm-hmm. Just like you're walking across the yard. If you keep walking across the lawn long enough, you're going to make a path there.
Right.
And in the same way, your brain will do that. She says it takes three cycles of 21-day challenges to create a habit. 63 days is what she says. Mm-hmm. So there's a physiological thing. And then there's a spiritual reason of 21 days. You know, I mean, we could look to Daniel, right?
Yeah, right.
All right, Daniel prayed 21 days. Right. The messenger from God, Gabriel, was sent on the first day.
I started out as soon as you started praying.
But I had to fight my way through the Prince of Persia. Okay, yeah. So there was a spiritual warfare element. And another reason, I think, Mike, is that is what I'm calling just a practical reason. I mean, 3 weeks. Okay,
yeah.
Here's the deal. Men are busy, and you know, practically, I think that there's, you know, people can just talk themselves out of doing something.
Yeah.
But 21 days is short enough. It's like flying from Nashville to Atlanta. Okay,
right. Yeah.
You know, you could drive there, but you know, it's just a short 45-minute flight. But the practical thing about this is it's 3 weeks. It's so short. Men don't even get intimidated by it. I don't care if they work. In fact, I created this working my way back from 50 hours a week that a guy works. He's married. He's got kids. He's got church and hobbies.
Right.
And he can still do this in a half hour of power like every day.
Wow,
and then the last part I would say about why 21 days is it's, you know, it's kind of a microcosm of life, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, there's a it's like a marathon, and you and your daughter-in-law ran a marathon, right?
We did. We ran it twice.
Well,
not in the same day.
Okay. Well, you know, there's a start, and then there's a middle, and then there's a finish.
Right.
And that is not unlike life. And so in a 21-day challenge, it's 3 weeks. You got week one, you start strong. Week two, you stay strong. Week three, you finish strong. And whether this is a marathon or a marriage, there's always those points. And we need to be better at starting, staying, and finishing things strong.
That's good, David. So you have this platform, My Virtual Mentor. And there's so much more. Again, I would really urge our listeners to go to the website and kind of explore so much more. But the starting point is this 21-day challenge.
Yes.
And that gets men, gives them the idea. I really like Carolyn Leaf's thought that 21 days, we've established this memory. We put that in place, but we still need to do this a couple of times to make it a habit, to be habitual about this. Now, here's the problem. I'm always good at pointing out the problem. The problem is, Dave, I need a disruption. I need focused energy. I need a simple plan. I also often need a kick in the seat of my pants to say, hey, you really need to do this. And more often than not, that comes from my precious wife Doris, who says, "Hey, well, you need to work on this." What do you say to women? We have a lot of wives that are listening. Are saying, "Man, my husband needs to do that." What do you say to them? How do you help them help themselves by helping them?
Well, most of your lady listeners, there's probably a man in their life that they love.
Yeah.
There's a young man, an older man that they care about, you know, a husband, a boyfriend, a father, a son, a stepson, a brother, a coworker, you know, that they just care about, that, you know, they could share this information with. I mean, you know, I've not met the man that doesn't want to be a better husband or a better father if they're married with kids, you know, or a better employer or employee or a better volunteer or leader at church. I've just not met that guy. But they don't always know how, and they need help. And I'll tell you, the ladies in our lives, I mean, they're just God's provision, just a gentle nudge from a lady to some man that they care about. So, you know, wow, why don't you check this out? Take it out for a test drive. You know, there's nothing to prove, nothing to hide, nothing to lose, you know.
Yeah, that's good. That's good, David. Wow. How our families would be different, our churches would be different, our communities would be different, our world would be different if we could get some men to step up and do this. I'm grateful to you. I'm grateful that God has placed this on your heart and has given you these gifts and abilities. So I'd encourage our listeners to look at myvirtualmentor.org, the 21-day challenge, and try to start. That's a great place to start.
You know, I would love to encourage, you know, the men that are listening and the men that may their wives or girlfriends may share this with, the woman in their life, right? Just to really just stop trying to be a better person. Stop trying to be a better husband. Stop trying to be a better boyfriend. Stop trying to be a better dad. And start training.
Training.
I mean, that's such a, this is the positive change that men crave. There's a famine in the land for men to just, wake up to who God has made them to be, right? And this isn't the only thing out there, but this is just one tool, a power tool, to help get the ball rolling, right? And so, yeah, if your listeners should just go to myvirtualmentor.org/launch, there's a 100% virtual, 100% free, and 100% tested, field tested, proven strategy to jumpstart positive change in a man's life. And this is with me, Mike. I'm going to do this virtually. I mean, I got a camera, I got a computer, and, you know, I'm visually impaired, but you know what? If I'm not dead, God is not done with me. We're going to work, we're going to work through it. And we're just going to help add value to people through getting them, you know, into a challenge. And that's just kind of like getting a front end of alignment.
Right.
It's not a new life. But, you know, if your car's out of alignment and you get that thing aligned. It's like a tune-up for your car. You know, you get an oil change, oil filter, and you know, all the engine tuned up, and then wash and wax it and fill it up with gas. You know, that's not a new car, but Mike, that's not bad.
Yeah.
And that's what a 21-day challenge can do. Good. It is a spiritual tune-up in 3 weeks.
And we haven't even started the trip yet. We got the car ready to go. That's good. Yeah. David, thank you so much for being here, for doing this. I can't wait to hear of men that have signed up and participated in this.
Thank you so much for having me.
Wow. Didn't David do a great job? He is such a man of God, and his walk with God is so close and so real that when he opens his mouth, God's stuff just comes out. I am grateful for his friendship and so grateful that you got to spend a little bit of time with him, hearing him talk about this 21-day challenge. I have been through it. I have taken groups of men through it, and it is life-changing. I encourage you, if you are a man or have a man in your life, to go to the show notes, find that link, and consider participating in a 21-day challenge. Well, so I want to talk to you for just a moment about that idea. There are some words that have an emotion or a feeling connected to them that is apart from the meaning of the word. We just hear the word and it emotes something in us, and whatever follows is colored by that feeling we've attached to that. Here's one of those words: discipline. I think more often than not, when we hear the word discipline, there's something harsh, negative, almost detrimental that comes up about that. Spare the rod and spoil a child. My father disciplined me harshly. You need to get in the Marines. They'll discipline you. You know, there's something about this idea of discipline that we almost draw back from and say, oh, I don't know if I want that in my life. But there's a whole nother way of looking at discipline. It is a great gift that God gives to us. It's not something that's done to us. It's a lifestyle that we choose. Proverbs 12:1 says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. When I am willing to commit my life to living a certain way, then God teaches me things out of that. Hebrews 12:11 talks about the different idea of discipline. It says that when God disciplines us, then it yields, it produces righteousness. There are good things that come out of discipline. And I love this verse about discipline. Titus 1:8 says, be a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. Choose to do that. Choose to live that way. So I want to talk to you just a moment about discipline. Not that thing that is done to you, but that lifestyle that you choose, that way of living that says, I am going to order my steps. I'm going to set boundaries that help me to live a more disciplined life. And the result of that is blessing. So, three things I want to say to you about discipline. Number one, as you begin a life of discipline, start small. Part of the problem with discipline, part of the negative connotation, is that we go all in and so large that it's just almost impossible. I'm gonna diet this year. I'm gonna lose 100 pounds. I'm gonna eat 800 calories a week and never let a morsel of anything sweet cross my lips again for the rest of my life. Well, that's probably not gonna happen. We are taking off too much of this discipline. Start small. Do some smaller things. Get some wins. Get some successes at some disciplines in your life. We're just coming out of this 40-day spiritual adventure I call Love Actually. I take people through once or twice a year, and it's just about that. It's about putting some small disciplines in place that reap huge dividends if we stay with those long enough. Which leads me to the second thing. Start small, be consistent. The thing about discipline is that I do it on a regular basis. I stay consistent. And as I stay consistent, it begins to take on a whole new meaning in my life. There's kind of a rule of thumb. I don't know how psychologically sound this is. I think it's a good rule of thumb, though. It's called the 21-90 rule.
that any new habit, any new discipline, I need to commit to doing it for 21 days in a row to begin to establish a habit. By the way, I've read some studies that say habits take anywhere from 14 to 254 days to establish. Wow, that's a lot. So let's say 21 days. I'm going to commit to this for 21 days. And then after that, I'm going to keep doing this for 90 more days to move it from being a fledgling habit to now being a lifestyle. Bible reading is one of those. Man, if I could just read the Bible 3 weeks in a row, and then all of a sudden I do that, now I'm doing it 90 days, and now I would no more think of leaving the house without reading my Bible and without putting my shoes on. So 21-90 rule, be consistent. And then the last thing is be joyful. If I approach discipline, oh brother, I've got to do this. I hate this. Why did I ever sign up for this? I promise you, I will fail at it. I won't. But if I approach it in a joyful manner, I'm so excited about what God is doing in my life. I'm so excited about this new level that I'm reaching. I'm so excited about the knowledge that I'm going to gain from this discipline. So I encourage you to begin to think about a more disciplined life. Start small, be consistent, and be joyful as you approach this idea of discipline. I think we would be better off if we all lived a little more disciplined lives. And I know that God has blessing for us on the other side of discipline if we'll just seek those.
Well, it's been a good day. Thanks for being a part of this. David Robertson, just terrific in talking about the challenge of going deeper in our faith, growing further in our faith, and encouraging men to do that. And then hopefully you got some things out of what I was talking to you about, the importance of discipline and how to go about that. If you liked what you heard from David and you didn't listen to the earlier podcast where he was introduced, I'd encourage you to go back. And it was a podcast that aired 2 weeks ago. Go back and look at that. In fact, go back and look at a lot of the podcasts that have dropped in the past and be a part of those. We'd love for you to do that. For today, remember to go to branchesblog.com. It's a great place to find out all things, what difference does that make, and the content that that I hope God is leading us to provide, and hopefully that's helpful for you. I'm always grateful and honored that you would take the time to listen to this podcast, What Difference Does That Make? It's a project that comes from my heart, and I hope it's helpful to some. If it is meaningful for you, if you would like to help, I'd like to ask you to consider two things. One is to tell a friend. I mean, probably the best advertising is just word of mouth. Tell somebody else about this and encourage them to listen to What Difference Does That Make? The second thing is to write a review. It helps us to do that. You can write a 1-star review or a 5-star review. If you're going to write a 1-star review, the name of this podcast is Dad Matters. I'm just kidding. My producer is dying laughing over there. No, it's What Difference Does That Make? But if you are going to write a 5-star review, yes, What Difference Does That Make? Thank you for being a part of this, and know that we are honored to have you here. So we end every time by asking this question: what difference does that make? 21-day challenges, being disciplined in our lives, deciding to be intentional about our walk with God. What difference does that make? Well, I was thinking that there's really no time in our life that we get better not on purpose. We don't get better accidentally. We always get better on purpose. And so I would challenge you. I would encourage you to say, this is the time that I am going to intentionally, purposefully put some things in place in my life to help me be a better man of God, a better husband, a better father, a better mother, wife, whatever. I'm going to get better on purpose. If we do that, I think you'll be healthier, happier, and holier. And I know that God will bless you in ways that you can't imagine. Thanks for being a part of this podcast today. Remember to love yourself today, because God does.
What Difference Does That Make with Dr. Mike Courtney is part of the Mana 3 Media Network. It is hosted by Dr. Mike Courtney and is produced and edited by me, David Wilkinson. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We'd love for you to subscribe to What Difference Does That Make wherever podcasts are downloaded. Be sure to check out our episode show notes. You can learn more about Branches Counseling Center on Facebook and Instagram, and you can check out more podcasts by Mana 3 Media, including my own, Dad Matters, on Instagram, at Mana 3 Media. That's M-A-N-A, the number 3, Media.